This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
We have the mics. I can't see hands so well. So, lady there.
Carol Lloyd from the University of Chichester. I think this is probably more for Christine from Play UK. Is it Catherine? Yes. I was just wondering to what extent, because it hasn't been mentioned today, is the therapeutic value of play valued? And I would like to hear more about that in the future, in that it is a healing process, and to what extent you work with play therapists is my question, I think, to Catherine.
Thank you. One thing I saw a couple of days ago is the government's just published some guidance on two local authorities on addressing NI50, which is supporting the emotional health and well-being of children, and recognise play as being one of the critical elements within that. Play is, I mentioned the rat scenario before, and I think when I was thinking back on what I said, I don't think I completely expressed what I wanted to say in terms of the kids that I later taught. And that, you know, as an early years practitioner, the kids who aren't ready to learn because they have clearly grown up in a box. And you know that they need that time and space to play. And I was really glad to hear my colleague saying that first few weeks in reception class, they're just allowed to play because they've got to come to terms with this new culture, new way of being. The whole concept of playtime, that's anathema and alien to somebody who's been in a free-flow setting for the previous 2 or 3 years. At the moment, Play England as an organisation, we don't work as yet with play therapists. It's something that I'd like to encourage. We do have a sort of campaigning group. We're developing a play in schools and integrated children's settings, by which we mean children's centres, and anywhere else that's is formal. And I would like to get play therapists sort of involved in that, because that group is beginning to be heard by TDA, by CWDC, by organisations that set the standards for training, because we'd like to show how valuable that is.
Hang on, you have to have the mic, I'm afraid.
I just want to add that because I train early years professionals and I teach therapeutic nature of play to these professionals, I'm finding more and more are passionate about learning the disciplines of the core conditions, which I think are love, in a therapeutic relationship. And we've talked today about love being the key core concept. But I'm finding it hard to get the therapeutic relationship and that nature of therapy in play to come across in early years. So I would like to advocate that. And maybe we could contact about that, because my practitioners are very keen to get into that.
Sounds as if you should talk to Play England in the tea break. Any more points or observations? And if I'm lost, at the back over there. No on that side? Okay. And then I think you probably all need a cup of tea.
Hi, Caroline Leeson from Caroline Leeson from the University of Plymouth. I think my question is particularly to Stephanie. I'm very interested in the well-being of looked-after children, and particularly where transitions are concerned, because research shows us that those children find it most difficult to make transitions, and that has long-term implications for education achievement. You talk very much about that three-way process of the child, the family, and the school being involved. And very often for looked-after children, they're with foster carers who don't know them very well. They've probably got a social worker who doesn't know them very well. And I wonder what it is that you do to facilitate their successful transition.
I think it's a question involving everybody. I think children who are looked after, particularly younger children, there's a lot of assumptions made about that if they are removed from whatever troubling circumstances in their family and put with a foster care, that everything's okay. But actually realising that this is where the work actually needs to begin, and perhaps this needs to link up with what the previous lady was saying about play therapy and the role of play therapy for such children, and particularly for foster carers, developing some of those skills too. Because play is really a way just children do work out the things that they're feeling through that play. I think that every circumstance is very different. And I don't think that there's a particular set pattern that we could say, well, that's the policy. But I think that schools really do need to be alert to the fact that, for children who are looked after, that they need to be brought in into school with a lot of attention paid to what their needs are. I do think as well that parents do have a place in early years classrooms in schools, in receptions, and perhaps also in year one. And I think that needs to be built on, and particularly with the foster carer, to bridge those gaps. This whole idea, again, about there's no such thing really as a seamless transition, it's up to us to pull those edges together and create the seams, which make it feel more seamless for children. But it's a lot of work that we have to do.
Right, I think probably, as I'm not seeing anyone urgently wanting to speak, this gentleman, then I think you'd better be the last, because I can definitely feel tea coming on, everybody.
Thank you. I'm from Thomas Arnold Primary School in London Borough of Barking and Dagenham. The question is, and I'm not quite sure who's best to answer it, but with the change and the pressures for early years teachers, and we have an issue in recruiting good quality, yes, and then keeping those staff, what's the future going to be? And we do have a growing population.
Well, that's a big question. I'm not sure who wants to go on that.
And actually, it might be that somebody in the audience might be able to help. It's in terms of recruiting good quality early years practitioners and then retaining those staff. Because I think there is something like newly qualified teachers lasting 3 to 5 years. So just at the time they get really good at the job, they find out they've had enough of it and do something else.
I can speak on behalf of the private voluntary independent sector early years practitioners. I can't really comment on recruiting teachers because that's not my area of work. And I'm not certain, Lynn, do you want to talk about that a bit from Sheffield's perspective? Within the early years and childcare sector, as I mentioned, we do have a specific remit with an organisation who promote the sort of opportunities for working in early years and childcare and the progression that people can now follow. Because historically, when I came from a nursing background where there was really at that time no progression, and I am also involved in a lot of work around one children's workforce and sort of the movements that you can make across the workforce and the opportunities that are available. So I can't really answer around teachers because I don't know the answer.
I think you've answered a very difficult question, and it's a hard answer to give you, but I think one of the answers will be the recession will help. Which isn't an answer you want to hear, but it is actually probably going to be one of the factors. But surely one of the other issues is if you have an attractive arena to work in terms of people valuing you, there are some career opportunities, you can see how your work is making a difference, that's going to be a really important motivator. That's why, and the questions one has to ask is why they're leaving. Exit interviews are very important. But I do want to finish now because we mustn't rule out an opportunity if you have a cup of tea and get to your seminars.